Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. Today's guests bring something we've never had on the show before. Identical twins building a family-powered real estate and mortgage business together. I'm joined by Sherry Walters and Nicole Walters of Twins Realty, based in Central Texas. For more than a decade, they've been tag-teaming life and business, building a residential real estate and mortgage operation grounded in clear roles, financial discipline, operating systems, and what they call staying seen as relatives. They're operators first, brand builders second, and they've turned the dynamic of being identical twins into a strategic advantage. They also host the Twincast, where they share insights from life and business as twins navigating entrepreneurship together. Sherry, Nicole, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Well, thanks for having us, Ed. We're happy to be here.
So let's start at the beginning. When did you realize that being identical twins could actually be a business advantage instead of just a fun family fact?
I believe it started really a couple of years into our business. I, as you had stated, I do mortgages for a living, and Nicole came shortly after I began my career in mortgages. So she got into real estate, and then we started working hand in hand, and we did that time after time, and customer after customer really caught on and really liked the fact that we were always together, always had answers. And we thought, why don't we turn this into something? And so then we started really honing in on the fact that we're identical twins and we do two separate jobs, but it could be to their advantage.
Awesome. And one of you had shared with me, we were tag teaming since birth. So always close, always very much in rhythm with one another. Was that always a truth for the two of you or not so much?
Probably not always the truth, but okay. I think the light bulb went on around 18 when Sheree got married. And at that moment, I felt, oh my gosh, she's not going to be there when I need her. That's what I felt at the moment. That's when the light bulb went on. So since then, we've been
inseparable pretty much.
So, but the tag teaming part, when one of us would get in trouble, we would take, oh, you can't talk about my sister. You can't do that to my sister. So we say tag teaming since birth, because even though we may had not been the best of friends until, like Nicole said, until we were around 18 years old or so, before then, you couldn't pick on one of us without the other one joining in, and we would tag team at some point. So then we used our powers for good later on.
Taking up for each other.
Yeah, we would use it for good. And then we really started to use it in our adult life.
Awesome. And as I shared, as a father of twins, this is especially gratifying. And my twins, when they were little, used to tag team differently. Like one would say, I'm going to sleep tonight and you stay up all night. And then tomorrow we're going to switch.
Oh, no.
That's how they did it. But, you know, being very close, being very aligned, you also have structure and roles built into your business. So for those who don't know you or Twins Realty well, can you break that down? So like Sherry, you said you're the one who set some of the cash rules and finances and keeps leverage sane. And Nicole, you bring some of the ambition, some of the execution. So talk a little bit about the lanes and how you define.
It's just super important that people understand their finances and understand credit and understand how that's able to, you know, purchase homes and what options they have, what loan options they have, what interest rates are for different products and things like that. So that's where my expertise lies, is defining the money, setting the tone for the loan structure, so that then allows Nicole to go hit the ball out of the park when she finds out what type of loan structure, how much money these individuals have in order to structure the loan that makes sense for them, for the bank, and for her to actually get the deal done through real estate. So we partner in that aspect, as I structure the finances, then I tag Nicole in for her to hit the ground running on securing the home.
Awesome. So, for those that don't know the industry, I mean, obviously cash discipline and leverage control, that's critical to what you do, right? That's got to be there to get good transactions, right?
It absolutely has to be there. And unfortunately, there's just such a need in the world for people to understand their finances better. Unfortunately, people need an education. And so I say unfortunately, but I'm there to provide the education and kind of guide them through that process and tell them, this is how we need to spend the money, this is how we need to structure the loan. This and sometimes I can't give the answer of, you're ready to go buy a house right now, you're ready for home ownership. But what I do is I'm able to empower them with, this is what you need to do in order to come back to me in 6 months, in a year. And I mean, people have come back to me years later, but without a plan, they're just shooting in the dark. And that's what I don't want. I want to give them a very strategic plan, an outline defined, explain to them, this is what we're going to do, and this is how you're going to get to home ownership. Because the goal is to set them up for success. I don't want them to buy a home and get foreclosed on in 6 months because they didn't have somebody guiding them through that process.
Certainly. And for many, one of the largest, if not the largest, financial investment they might be making in their lives. And one that goes along with probably a lot of emotion too, I would think, often, right?
Yeah, I think that's the part I come in. It is an emotional situation when you're buying a home, selling a home. That transaction, it's instrumental. You have to have a person there. And I mean, I love people. So Cherie is really the numbers person. And when it comes to my part, I think that's a big part of what I do, is just getting out there, talking to people. A house is not a home. You make it the home. So when I'm talking with my clients, I'm really getting involved in understanding what the dynamic is, why they're purchasing it, why they're moving, where they're moving, what the goal is. And so it's not just about a purchase, it's about finding them a home that they're going to be able to come home to and feel happy about coming home to that place, and where they're going to bring, their kids or their parents or whatever the situation is. So that's my part of it, and that's what I love doing.
And in addition to yourselves, you've got some other family members involved in the business. So, Sherry, I believe it's Jesse is your husband, correct?
Yes,
Yeah.
he is
Okay,
my
and he's
husband.
involved as well, broker and strategist. So, talk about that for a minute. How are you balancing spouse dynamics alongside twin dynamics without, creating
Ruffling
any
feathers,
right
ruffling any feathers, right?
confusion? Yeah. How do you manage that?
Well, I'll tell you, it's never a dull moment. Ne never. But honestly, because we are faith-based and we are Christ followers, I believe that we have really honed in on the fact that you have to have self-control. You don't just say everything that comes to your mind. And we operate in love, and understanding that Jesse really does have the best interest at heart, that I have to understand my role as his wife and Nicole as his sister-in-law. And when you understand that, I believe that it flows just a little bit easier. Believe me, that was not the case from the beginning. We've had many discussions and always fine-tuning that dynamic, but we've really learned that when we work together, as we say, two is better than one, three is better than two, four is better than three, and we kind of just grow on that for sure.
And speaking of that, it goes even further. As I understand, your mom has stepped in as a transaction coordinator, and your father as well, sometimes support listings through his landscaping expertise. So, that's a lot of family members functioning in different roles at different times. So talk about that for a moment, how you keep that family involvement productive and everyone aligned versus allowing it to get chaotic or out of line.
Well, I think one thing we always say is aces and places. We do know our role. And so Cherie's role is numbers, mine's finding homes, selling homes. My dad is also a pastor. And so he does landscaping. He's a pastor. My mom is great at order. And so we've been doing working together for a very long time. He's been a pastor for 10 years. And so we're part of the church and it growing and doing Sunday school and just doing a lot of different things. So working together, having Christ in the center of that has really helped us just navigate through even difficult times where we don't always agree, but we know, but what we do agree on is God is first. So we can kind of iron things out. We take some time. Sometimes it takes a few days. No, I'm sorry, a few hours because days, we don't have time in the industry that we're in. We don't have time to have days go by. And also the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we really try to focus on just letting God handle our handle situations, and self-control is really the main thing that gets us through those moments.
So in addition to faith alignment, I'm sensing there's also very strong values alignment amongst the family, amongst your husband, Cherry. That seems like you're all kind of operating from a very similar set of core values, it would seem. Would that be accurate?
Oh gosh, 100%. Our business, I attest to Christ to everything that that we have been able to accomplish, because it is not probably very common that you're able to see families operate decades together without, a huge split, or without someone, leaving the company and, being even on talking terms. I've heard that countless times, but we really put Christ in the middle of it, and we know that offenses are going to come. That's inevitable. People are going to get upset. It also, the Bible also says love co covers a multitude of sins. And so if we can reference that, we can go back and say, hey, let's get this figured out. Because at the end of the day, we want all of us to be successful. We want all of us, because if that happens to us, we are able to tell someone else, hey, this is how you make this business work. This is how your company can flourish. If you operate with people being disrespectful, people not communicating effectively, if you don't have aces in places, then that business is not, it's the likelihood is not looking good,
Understood. Understood. It sounds like a lot of emotional maturity amongst the team, in that you're free to speak your mind, although with the caveat that you do so in a way that doesn't do harm, that's
for sure.
or irreversible harm as
Right. Yes, important. Because yes, it's like Nicole had mentioned, it's an emotional roller coaster. You have customers that could get upset, could get angry, and then they take it out on you. And then, what if this person didn't, operate quick enough, and they didn't do their part, and they dropped the ball? And because in this industry, people are very quick to cast blame on who didn't do their part. So it's very important that we put the right people in the right place, and they know their job. They know their job, and
That
they
we
just
know
get it
ours.
done, and knowing that you can talk to each other, and if you need help, hey, tag me in. I'm here to help, and let's get the job done.
Well, it seems like, and I'm going to guess that this alignment of roles and alignment of responsibilities just didn't show up. It sounds very purposefully and intentfully put into place. So, looking back, was there a catalyst, an issue, or something that occurred that said, "Hey, you know what? We better do a better job of defining our swim lanes, our roles in this organization, or else we're going to run into, all kinds of things." Like, was there an early instance where you said, "Okay, we better do a better job of defining our swim lanes"?
Well, I believe that we really understood, from
From the
very early
start?
age. We well, and then not completely. Let me explain. From a very early age, I always enjoyed money and finances and things like that. Like that always, made sense to me, right? Black and white. I wanted the answer, and I didn't want maybe. I wanted to know, how did we get to that answer? So I've always been that type of person, Nicole. She's always been the cute and cuddly. Everybody loves Nicole. I mean, you spend 2 minutes with her, and she's They tell her life story, and it made sense for us to go into the roles that we went into, but we didn't understand. We leaned in more into them as we grew into our professional career.
Nice. So let's talk about, I'm going to direct this question to Nicole. We talked about real estate being a very emotional, potentially a very emotional event, and also very much relationship governed. Got to be a lot of trust. There's got to be a lot of strength in that relationship of all of the people that are, say, on that team, if you will. So how is Twins Realty differentiating itself in a market that has clearly shifted over, I'd say, the last several years? So there was that COVID market, and there's the post-COVID market, and most certainly not one in the same, at least not on the East Coast. I don't know, I can't speak for Texas, but how are you going about differentiating and showcasing the unique attributes of Twins Realty when you're out there talking with people?
Well, simply, we just put people first. And so I think that is really what we work with lots of customers, lots from different ages, different backgrounds, how much money they make. All that is different for each customer. But what we do, it really doesn't matter. All that matters is that we love people. And so we're putting that in everything that we do. Every time we meet with someone, we're trying to find out what is it that they're looking for? How can Cherie help with the numbers? What is their payment goal? What is their neighborhood? And so really in pivoting to we do podcasts, and we're just trying to focus on what people need versus another sell. And I feel that in a commission-based business, that is really what people are. They're just they're As it is emotional, we are not trying to, it's just a paycheck. It's not about a paycheck. And a lot of times when you're in a commission-based business, that's what, as a sales agent, that's what people are already on guard with. That's an emotional part right there. They have their guard up because they think that it is about a paycheck, but we are different because it's not. It's about putting people first.
Okay, great. So you operate, I guess, Central Texas. Is that what you would consider your geography? You're about an hour from Austin, right? I
Yes,
guess.
sir.
Okay. So talk about that geography as it relates to real estate. How has that shaped your positioning, your growth strategy? Talk about the market dynamics for a moment, if you will, and what's going on there, and how that's shaping how you approach the market.
Well, in regards to, we have Fort Hood here. So there's a lot of military families that come in
There you
here.
go.
Back and forth, and we have Scott & White, which is a huge hospital, a training base as well. So there's just a lot of activity going back and forth. But being about an hour from Austin, centrally, like Temple Belton area, those people that are coming from Austin, they're coming down here because the property values are slightly less, but you get more for your money here. So we're getting a lot of those people, even from California and just other states. We had just another client come from Delaware, but you get more bang for your buck here. So I think Texas, and there was a couple other states that there's so much more movement here. What is the VA as far as the property taxes? We don't, as in
Yeah,
Texas.
we take care of our veterans, and they don't pay property taxes if they're 100% disabled veterans. We're 30 minutes from the largest military base in the nation, and we're, like you had mentioned, within an hour commute to Austin, which is, a huge music industry. We have Tesla there. We have a lot of things that people want to get to, However, the cost of living there, the sales price of homes, like Nicole mentioned, it is considerably more. And so she said, you can get more bang for your buck, 100%. So people are coming here to save some money, and we're loving it. And not to mention, we've grown up here. So 42 years we've lived in this community, and we've been able to watch and see this community grow. In ways we never really thought that they would ever happen, right? That's another part of our business, is just being from this community.
And that's got to be a great advantage too, to really be able to speak to the region very authentically, because you're from there. You know it well. You've known it through all the stages of your life so far. And also sounds like at least the potential for quite a hotbed when it comes to real estate, with a lot of people coming in and out and also transplanting from other locales. At least on the East Coast here, You would think that there was a mass migration from California to Texas, as though it was reported on the news. I don't know if it's quite like that, but certainly it sounds like you're seeing some of that as well in your market, right?
Yes, sir. Seeing them, you guys coming over, and we'll take you because we like it. We always say everything's better in Texas, and we believe it. We stand behind it. We've never lived anywhere else but Texas, and so we practice what we preach. Everything's better here. So come on over.
Awesome, awesome. So bringing it back to the business and more on the day-to-day, the week-to-week, practical terms, what are some non-negotiable systems or habits that keep Twins Realty running smoothly week over week? What are some things that are just mandatories in terms of how you operate?
We definitely, and those are kind of ever changing, but as our business grows, we are implementing specific times as far as if what podcast times, like your time scheduled, but certain days. And so we are really implementing rules, listing times, listing days. Those are important to us. And Cherie, well, I'm sure she has some kind of guidelines as far as when she's doing pre-qualifications and things like that, but we are really making sure that we are following a timeline. Sundays are God's days. And so we make sure that that is something that we definitely implement, that God's days focus on Sunday, and just really following that lineup and making sure we are taking our time and scheduling things, putting it on a book certain days. So that's important to us.
Cool. And as far as a number of listeners are obviously family businesses, some of them are siblings in business. So, and we've seen this show up where you've got two siblings. Yeah, they've got their defined roles, but sometimes they either inadvertently or accidentally or sometimes deliberately step into each other's lane. So how do you make sure that you put in place structures that don't allow for the stepping on one another's toes? How do you do that?
We vocalize it, and it's almost a joke, but that we know as soon as we say it, we're okay. You just hands up. Hey, I know I'm in the wrong role, and it's a joke because we literally say, "Hey, that's my role," but we just point to our chest. Like if I'm talking about negotiating a contract, and Nicole's like, "That doesn't make sense." She's like, "Hey, that's me." She just points to her chest and she says, "That's me." And then if she
And then she
starts to
goes back to work on whatever she was supposed to be working on
Yes, and
because.
then I go back to my role, which is mortgages, and I go do what I'm supposed to do. But we've made it. We've had that talk, and we've said, if we're doing something that doesn't make you feel comfortable or is not your role, then just say it, and don't take offense to it. Just tell me and move on. And that's what we do. We just let it. Okay, you're right. That's your area of expertise. Now, sometimes, that I may mention something to her, and she. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. But if she says no, I'm not going to get offended about it.
Cool.
A lot of times it's brainstorming too. We don't take because we know that we have our best interest. I have her best interest at heart, and she has mine. So if she does vocalize something, then I don't immediately get offensive. I'm like, I might look at her and think, okay, let me take a minute and think about it. And of course, there are times when I'm just not in the mood for that, and I just. Okay, that's my role. And then we leave it alone. And I might revisit what she was thinking, but we know that we have our best interests at heart. So it's not something that we get into very often if we don't step on each other's toes too often.
And by all indications, it sounds like you're operating from a very healthy foundational relationship, and that clear communication was something that showed up early, and probably was also to some degree structured and enforced by your folks too, who were like, this is how we talk in this family, and that or at least how we aim to.
Yes, my parents were very structured. I mean, my dad has had his lawn service for gosh, I mean, we're 40, and I remember him picking us up from school with his lawnmower equipment, embarrassing and all. But he would pick us up, and he would look at his notepad, and he would have this person is on this day, this Miss Fox is on this day, and that, and he would have a what I would say is a pipeline. He would have his pipeline built out. My mom has always been great with finances, and she would always say, "You pay your bills on time. If somebody allows you credit, you pay pay them on time. This is how much money's coming into the household. This is when you spend it, you take it out. And it has been a defined role from, that's all we knew. We knew mom took care of money. Dad had his business, and this is what he did in his business, and this is how he structured it, and he had times, and it made sense. And then when we got into this business, it was kind of like, oh, that's what was happening the whole time. And all while serving as a minister and then later as a pastor. And so serving people, money is just the byproduct of serving people. How much you make really depends on how, to me, is the servanthood that you're giving to other people. So it's kind of how we think.
It's always I always find it remarkable how this always seems to show up for the influence, sometimes even unspoken, that especially when there's multi generations, or in this case, observing your father's business and how that left impressions on you that would come to serve you both well in the years to follow. Speaking of your folks, when the two of you said, "Hey, we're going to be working on this business together," what was their reaction when you first told them?
My parents have always been so supportive, really anything that we wanted to do. And it was, I mean, when we chose careers, this really, for Cherie, she decided to do the mortgage part of it. But when I decided to be a real estate agent, because I could have said, "Hey, let me be a mortgage lender too," but I immediately thought, "Hey, I want to work with her, but I don't want to work against her. I don't want to be competition." So, we were excited to find a role that we could again work together and help each other. But that's how my parents were. They were always supporting anything that we did. And especially if we were supporting each other, working hand in hand, this is a dream. My mom loves that we work together. She loves to come to our office. And oh my gosh, I mean, she's the glue that keeps everything together at home, at the office, at the church. So we couldn't do it without her.
And apparently, if you're a family member in your family, the two of you will put them to work, huh?
Well,
100%.
what else is
100%.
there to
Nicole's daughter today was at a listing appointment. She was helping you get the listing ready, right?
Yeah, I have a 13-year-old, and so my daughter, she was helping me do. I had to do staging at a listing,
Yep.
and so she's on roll call too. So I had her out there with boxes and putting flowers up and carpets down. And after that, I did feed her. That's new because sometimes you don't get to eat. But we got to sit down and eat at a restaurant. We ate pancakes this morning, but before it's been like, let's stop at the dollar store and get a bag of chips. So we've upgraded her role because she's gotten better at her job. So I pay her a little bit more, you know?
I was cheap labor too as a young when my dad said I need some help at the office putting together some press kits for an upcoming event, and I said, well, I don't know if I want to do that. He said, well, what if I buy you a Star Wars figure? Would that be okay? I'm like, all right, I'll do it. So
Would that be okay?
yes.
Yeah, I'll do
Yeah,
it.
well, I mean, we
Okay.
didn't get gifts, but we always got paid with food because my grandma did the same thing. We would help clean houses with her, and she would afterwards, we wouldn't get paid, but she would take us to get donuts and chicken. So that's how it was
We
growing up.
happily worked. We happily worked for it. We looked forward to the donuts and chicken, even if that meant cleaning carpets and all dusting and all the things. The chicken and the donuts is
Toothbrushes.
really what we remember.
Cleaning, faucets with toothbrushes and things like that. So a hard work ethic has been instilled in us since, I mean, a very young age. And I think it's of utmost importance to teach people to work and put the work in and do things in a spirit of excellence, because God will honor that. And I've seen it countless times. Aside from faith, I mean, anybody. I mean, you can look at any pro athlete, you can look at any successful individual in any career, but they're not the people that just do what's asked of them. They do more than they're called to do. So,
That's great. And that's keyed into that as well, that the work ethic didn't just show up. It was demonstrated and instilled at a very young age, and that's very clear. I have to ask this question as a father of twins, because I know this assumption is out there that just because you're twins, everybody might assume that you think and act identically too, yet you're clearly very different people with distinct strengths. So how do you ever find that, like when you're talking to somebody new who doesn't know you well, like they just assume that you're completely identical in every fathomable way, but how do you go about kind of starting to enunciate some of your distinct strengths as you meet somebody new?
I mean, it explains.
Good.
We really approach that head on, and we tell them very at the very beginning. And typically, Nicole is the introduction of all up to Cherie, basically to Cherie. Nicole talks to them and says, "Listen, I'm the fun twin, and Cherie's the black and white. So you get the smiley emojis, you get the high fives, you get, have fun twin, and then you get her, and she's going to help you with your mortgage, and she's going to do a really good job for you, and she's going to know her products, and she's going to help save you thousands of dollars." But know the difference between the two. So we just tell them from the beginning.
You
We have
just let
fun
it
with it.
there. Yeah, we have fun with it because Cherie sometimes sells herself short. She's a good time too, but the numbers is kind of, it's like a repellent. It's a repellent for people. But we have a good time. And some of her friends I've taken over, and now they're my friends. And then sometimes Cherie hangs out with them. But
Yeah, once they know her, it's like, okay, who are you, Cherie? But it's fun. We love it. We have a good time with it. So we just let them know with the cat's out of the bag, we'll tell them up front.
Cool. So let's talk about your podcast for a moment, called the Twin Cast. Adds obviously another layer to your brand. Talk about that and what made you decide to step into that content publicly?
I felt like an industry where there wasn't a lot of people talking about, or in this town, talking about what is happening. We work with a lot of different agents. There's so many agents in just everywhere. So what we wanted to do is really educate buyers, sellers, and even agents that haven't been in the business very long, because we have been in this profession for over a decade and top 1% in our field. We know a little bit about a lot of it. So we wanted to be able to help people through those processes.
Awesome. Awesome. And if I were to look out ahead, say 5 years from now, what does growth look like for Twins Realty? Is it more scale, more specialization? Is it deeper community roots, or something else?
Well, we would hope that you would see us on a stage near you. We want to take this show on a road, from a
Okay.
podcast to a stage, and we want to tell people a few different things. But one, I think real estate and mortgages will be the vehicle for us to tell them more about how faith got us to where we are today.
Excellent, excellent. So last question, if any of our listeners wanted to connect with one or both of you, or even tune into the TwinCast, or learn more about Twins Realty, what's the best way for them to connect?
Well, you can always reach me at 254 at Nicole, 254-295-3582. And if you find me, you'll find Cherie as well. She'll usually be right next to me. Or you can do YouTube at Twins Realty. So that's how you can reach us, and Facebook, twinsrealty.com as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, family business shows up in many forms. Sometimes it's a multi-generational manufacturing facility, and sometimes it's identical twins building a disciplined, system-driven real estate operation in the heart of Texas. What stands out here is clarity, clarity of roles, clarity of management, and clarity of expectations, and the ability to build something together without sacrificing the relationship at the core, in fact, honoring the relationship at the core. So, Cherie, Nicole, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your approach. Again, we've been speaking with Cherie Walters and Nicole Walters of Twins Realty, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Cherie and Nicole, absolute delight having you on today. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Ed. We had a good time.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.delianet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at DeliaNet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia. And thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.